This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to On the Bench. I'm your host for this episode, Brendan Sinone, joined by just myself right now, but that'll change momentarily. We will have the long-awaited, I don't know about long-awaited, but an awaited interview with Coach John Papuchis, JP, coming up pretty soon. FSU Special Teams Coordinator will be joining me in about a minute or so once I finish up with the introduction, thanking our sponsors, giving you guys an idea of what's coming ahead with some other podcasts this week. But I know a lot of you have been eagerly waiting to walk with JP, and it's about to come up here shortly. I think it'll be a fun interview where you get to hear about some of the development of the defensive ends, not just currently on the roster, but over the last few years, and how important some of these figures have been in shaping the defense, shaping some narratives for FSU, fighting back against narratives of development. It's important. We're going to get into, as well as talking about some of the really awesome stories of the homegrown talent on special teams, and the remarkable story of someone like a Ryan Fitzgerald who just turned his whole career around in a season. Really cool there. So we'll talk with JP about that shortly. But then after we talk to JP, we'll take a commercial break. When we come back, we will have a nice-sized portion of a podcast with Zach Blostein leading the charge to talk about recruiting, along with Dane Draper and Clay Fink. Yep, that's right. The intern Fink is making his podcast debut with On the Bench coming up shortly. So they're going to talk about some recruiting developments from the past weekend, look ahead to Legacy Weekend, I think, coming up. I think they'll talk about that a little bit too. I haven't fully edited that part of the podcast yet, but a lot of recruiting stuff to get to. Before we get to the JP interview, shout out to Chattanooga Whiskey, absolutely crushing it in the craft distillery game. No one does a better job at creating craft spirits like Chattanooga Whiskey. It's excellent stuff. And then also want to give a shout out to the Turner Group. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the state of Florida, nowhere else we'd recommend you to go. So whiskey, realty, combine the two and maybe you'll buy a house in the next day or two. All right. Without further ado, here's the interview with JP. Let's start off, JP, by talking about the combine. I think that was a lot of fun for FSU fans to see and feel very validated about the players that they knew were really good. Go ahead and dominating it. Anything that you saw there surprise you? Be like, oh, that guy did even better than I thought.
Well, I mean, overall, I was just really proud of how all of our guys went and performed. I thought they went with an intent and then a focus that allowed them to be successful. At the same time, it wasn't surprising because we get to see those guys every single day. I know what they're all about. I know the type of work that they put in when they're part of this program, and had no doubts that the work that they would put in the training for the combine would lead them to success.
Oh, so Braden Fisk running in the 4.7s, you're like, oh yeah, I knew he was going to do that all along.
I knew he could run. You know what I mean? I watched him run Coach Norvell every single day, and you could see that he has really tremendous straight line speed for a defensive tackle. So it wasn't super surprising, but I was really happy for him because it did validate, him and a lot of how he finished the year and who he was.
And a lot of what I want to ask you today, JP, is going to be about like kind of looking forward and foundational pieces, 2024 and as you guys move forward. But like one last reflective point, like Jared Verse has been obviously a fantastic player, but just an ambassador for the program and the way he's handled himself while he was at Florida State and how he's talked about you guys. Can you just do like a little reflection on what Jared's meant to you personally, to this program, how special he's been?
Yeah, I was actually sharing this with his mom the other day after he performed in the combine that, his recruitment and his belief in us in terms of committing here was really one of the pivotal moments, in my opinion, in this program with Coach Norvell and all of us here together. He was a guy that had an opportunity pretty much to go anywhere he wanted to go. We were coming off a 5-7 season. And he chose to believe in the vision that we had for what Florida State was going to be. And in his 3 years here, we went 23-3 with him playing. So not only did the vision that we put out on display for him turn out to all become reality, the impact that he had was tremendous, both on and off the field. And it's almost as good of a story as it could have been for what he was able to do for Florida State, but also what I feel like that we were able to do for him.
It also strikes me, you mentioned like how pivotal he was. Jermaine Johnson was also like a foundational in a different, I know it was only a year different, but like a different time in the program's evolution, what he represented. That's pretty cool. Like those two guys have been defensive ends and you got to work closely with them.
No, it's interesting that you said that because, to kind of broaden the conversation that I had with Jared's mom, actually I said that the two most pivotal pieces, and that's exactly how I shared it with her. I said, without Jermaine, Jared probably doesn't come because Jermaine did lay the groundwork and show Jared what could be if he did come here. And then without Jared, I don't know that we were able as a team to have some of the successes that we've had. So, I think both those two recruitments were super critical, but also just who those guys were once they became part of the program, how invested they were, what great team players they were. And, obviously how talented they are, which is going to allow them both to go on and have tremendous careers.
I remember when the first time we saw Jermaine Johnson, it looked different than anything else we had seen. And that was just the program was developing and he had been at a program where he had gotten the development of with stability around him and also being a physical freak. But like, and now it dawns on me, JP, it's like the new guys who come in at defensive end, some of the transfers, some of the guys who've developed as you continue to build it, these new guys, like a Marvin Jones Jr. comes in who is another freaky athlete, but he doesn't look totally different than some of the other guys around it. Like, and you got to reflect on like just how this roster has been built over the years and the work you guys have done in kind of establishing this, stability, for lack of a better phrase.
Well, one of the things that you see throughout our whole roster.
Yeah.
Is I think we're as good top to bottom right now on the roster as we've ever been. I feel like our depth is very solid across almost all position groups, I would say, but especially just talking about defensive end, how many guys have the opportunity to compete and contribute this year? It's probably the best depth we've ever had at the position, and I'm really excited about it.
So let's talk about some of the guys who are competing and that you've gotten through tour duty now at this point, and so you have those data points, right? You get to see how they handle their work, how they move, that kind of stuff. And there's a lot more to come up with spring ball, but like you got Pat Payton who returns and you know what Pat is and he's still developing. So maybe we start with Pat, but like just that group in general, JP, like kind of who's there and who are your options right now?
Yeah. Pat's had a really good off season, and I was proud for him for how he has approached the work because when you're a guy that has had success like he has, you come off of being a 14-game starter. There was nothing in Pat that came in entitled or feeling like he had already kind of arrived. This offseason, he's gained 16 pounds. He's bigger than he's ever been. I think he's moving better than he ever has. He's been consistent in his approach every single day. And, you know, I think, you know, he's just starting to scratch the surface of what he potentially could be. And that's what you want from a guy that's going to be going into now his fourth year in the program, that he's continuing to develop and he's continuing to get better, because that's really what it's all about. You know, in terms of the guys that are new to the program, we basically have the three guys that transferred in. We have Marvin Jones, who a lot of people are obviously familiar with, Nusi, which is Sione, and then Tomi. And, I think all three of those guys have done a really nice job of coming in, acclimating to be part of the program, but also bringing that spirit that drew us to them, that work ethic, that the toughness that we believe that they have, bringing that into the off season. And all three of those guys have made tremendous strides from the first day that we did tour duty to that finishing up today. They've all improved immensely. The walkthroughs and having the opportunities in the meeting rooms obviously has caught them up to speed a little bit. So I'm excited to see what that first day of spring ball is going to look like for all three of those guys. And then you have a good core group of guys that we still need to find out more about who were already part of the program. Byron Turner was able to get a lot more of a role with us on defense last year, and he's 15 pounds heavier than he was last year as a redshirt sophomore. Jane Jones has had a tremendous offseason, for Jay Jones. I'd go as far as to say he might have had the best offseason of any of the DNs.
He didn't have the knee brace on. We saw a picture of it and saw him at tour duty moving. Well, like the mental part of like not feeling like you need that, man. It seems important piece of that puzzle to kind of emerge.
Yeah, he's much more confident in terms of, I think, how his knee feels. He's moving around great. He's working hard. He's staying focused. I'm really excited about where he's headed. Aaron Hester has had a good winter program. Lamont Green, Boots Green has done some good things. So, you know, we have the most depth that we've ever had. And I'm really excited to see what the competition is going to look like when we get into the spring ball.
For you as a coach, it seems like this is going to be fun. Like the amount of guys at different stages in the career that you get chances to develop. Is that a fair assumption?
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's a good group to work with. They come in every day, work hard. They come to the meeting rooms, they want to learn. So it's a good group, but also we're going to have really good competition. And I think one of the great things that can build a team is having guys, you know, the expression iron sharpens iron, but it's true. And guys making each other better, pushing each other to be better. And, I think the whole team will benefit, but I think also each individual will benefit along the way.
Switching gears a little bit to some of the specialists that you also oversee, like I this idea of, you know, we're talking about growth and development and two different people here is like, so what is Alex Mastromano, who was amazing last season and like he's gotten progressively better year over year. The other one is Ryan, who like the struggles that he went through 2 years ago and how he turned that around. So one's had this like interesting general progression. The other one overhauled a lot to get where they're both at the top of their craft. Like how much better can both of those guys get? And what have you seen from them like on their respective journeys to get to this place?
You know, I feel very fortunate. The whole now going on year five, the whole time that we've been here,
right.
It's a unique situation in terms of that and watching their growth and development. You know, Alex had a really good year a year ago, but I still think the best is yet to come for him. There's a lot that he feels like he can work on in terms of just overall consistency, overall power. I think with the work that he's putting in, I feel like there's still room to grow for him. And then for Ryan, you know, he's just a confident kicker right now. And he should be. You know, he had a really good year a year ago. I think he continues to get stronger, in the weight room. He gets stronger. Out with all the drill work that we do. And I think that translates directly in how powerful he was on his kickoffs from a year ago and his overall leg strengths. And, I'm really confident in both guys and really excited that they're going to be back for another year.
We do need to give a shout out to James Rosenberry. He won an award for best long snapper in the country. Did you ever see the video that we did together by any chance?
I did see the video. And you know, they actually done a little bit of I guess redecorating or rebranding in the hallways here, kind of reflecting some of the successes of the teams the last couple of years. And that there is a picture of the All-American James Rosenberry up on the wall, so I get to see it every day. But I'm super proud of him. You know, the long snappers are very unsung kind of guys within a team. But when you have a guy that's as consistent as he was, and just a great team player and just a great guy, it makes a huge difference. And I'm definitely going to miss him just because for so long I was around him almost every day. Just not having him there, is he's certainly going to be missed.
Such a solid dude. I thought you were going to say that the video, like a picture, like a still of our video, was going to be up in the hallway. I thought that was going to be a little weird.
That was one of the options that they were looking at, but they decided to go with just him playing the game.
All right, last question. We're running low on time here. We have message boarders that want to know, walk with them. Is this a thing that you've seen or heard of? It has become a life force of its own in certain segments of the FSU community.
I have heard about it. I don't know a lot about it. I feel like it started out as very mocking, and then now it's turned into like maybe a positive. So I don't know, like, how. I guess I'm for it. I'm all with it. Like, but I have heard a little bit about people telling me about it, but I'm not super familiar. But if it's turned into a positive thing, then let's roll with it, and I'm all in.
As someone who gets teased and poked at all the time for my own anxiety or like the crappy music we have at the start of the podcast, like, people love it now. So when you just keep doing the right things over and over, you have a way of winning people over, I like to think.
I hope so. You know, I certainly really love being here and being part of this community and part of this family. So I hope that that's showing up, and I'm really looking forward to everything that we have ahead of us.
All right. Thanks for coming on, JP. This has been fun. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you, brother.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's get into the recruiting talk, guys. So Florida State hosted their first recruiting weekend of the spring this past weekend, March 9th. You know, it's basically a typical junior day setup. They had about 15 kids on campus, toured them around the facility. They got to do meetings with, you know, the coaching staff, Coach Mike Norvell, and their specific position coaches. And some of the recruits actually went over to the basketball game. Shout out FSU basketball for beating Miami. I think it's 12 out of the last 13 matchups between the two, and that FSU came out victorious. So, you know, despite the down year, FSU still handling their in-state rival down south. But yeah, so let's start with the most highly ranked prospect on campus over the weekend, Kalik Lockett. Before I dive into some recruiting intel, Dane, I think you watched Kalik Lockett while we were out there at the Moore Center as you were doing a little scouting article on Knowles247.com. Why is he a five-star prospect to you?
True. I mean, yeah, Kalik Lockett is a really fun player. He's got like a really interesting skill set, I'd say, because he moves like a much smaller receiver, and he's kind of, I mean, he's listed 175 pounds, and that, and he's like a very wiry framed guy and like an elusive type, but he's really, really long and is a great athlete where he can play, I guess, far above his size. And he's got a lot of ball skills and deep speed, and he's kind of got everything you'd like. Reminds me a lot of like a Garrett Wilson type, though, of like, I don't know, almost like a prototypical Z in a way, where he can get separation all across the field and play above his height and all that great sort of stuff. He's the full package, I think, but he's really intriguing because he's like really exceptionally long. I mean, he's a 6 foot seven wingspan, but he also can play much more like a smaller receiver too. And the ways that would be advantageous.
Got you. Yeah, I feel like with any prospect that Florida State is recruiting from, you know, someone outside of their direct region, like some, you know, Kalik Lockett's obviously out of Texas. You always wonder, like, if they're making an early visit, like, is Florida State going to remain a contender in their recruitment? That's kind of the question I wanted to ask Kalik during our post-visit interview. He flat out said that FSU is definitely going to be a contender moving forward. I think the visit really surprised him. He spoke to 24/7 Sports' Mike Roach actually today in an article posted on 247.com. He said, "The visit, it really shocked me. I did not expect what happened to happen. I did not expect me to love Florida State as much as I do now." He mentioned in that interview that he's definitely getting back to Florida State. And that will likely occur during the summertime, which we expect to probably be for an official visit. He's a guy that is pretty much being prioritized by all the top schools in the country. But some of the schools standing out for him, Texas, USC, LSU, Ohio State, and Penn State. I think he's visiting Penn State next. So, yeah, I mean, he's saying all the right things. I think the next step is obviously seeing if he schedules that official visit to Tallahassee. If he does that, I think we can pretty much cement him as a, you know, a guy with high mutual interests in FSU and someone we should absolutely track moving forward. Heading over to the defensive line, Kevin Wynn. He's a guy that we've been tracking for a long time over at Knowles 24/7. FSU was the first program to actually offer Kevin Wynn a scholarship, and that's meant a lot in his recruitment. He's a guy that, you know, his mom joined him on this visit, and I think I mentioned that maybe on the podcast prior to this, but you know, we talked about how important that was because his mom has not joined him on any other college visits. And, you know, FSU was the first program to accomplish that, getting his mom on campus with him. And yeah, he talked about FSU being first to a lot of things in his recruitment, including, you know, his first night game experience. He was at a night game in Doak this past season. Loved that. Yeah, they just done an excellent job. Odell Hagen's kind of leading the charge there for Florida State. Ryan Bartow also involved. I think FSU leads. He didn't come out, you know, flat out and say that, but I think FSU, he's mentioned in the past that Florida State's set the bar in his recruitment. And I really do think that they've continued to be in that top spot. Next thing I'm tracking, like with most of these recruits, is when he's going to lock in his official. I've been told in the past few days that that's kind of in the works right now. They're trying to schedule a late June official with Kevin Wynn. So we'll definitely keep tabs on that. Dane, I know you watched him as well. What do you like about his game? He's someone that you've been talking about for I feel like, you know, quite a while now, as someone that you personally like.
Yeah, he's another really intriguing prospect, I guess, because he's, like, I want to say unique prospect, because he has an exceptionally wide frame, and he has, like, the natural ability to really kind of anchor in the center of the defensive line at a level that most people can't really do, just because he's so wide framed. I mean, he's listed 6'2", 320, and, like, 6'2 might even be generous. I don't think his arms are super short, so it's not a big deal, but he's a guy that's going to be able to have a lot of functional weight on him, and he moves really well for that weight already. Like, I feel like his body's pretty unrefined right now, which is, you know, normal for a guy his age that's 320 pounds. But he moves really well for that weight already. He's kind of like an elusive type of guy almost. I mean, when you watch him, at least he has flashes of that. And I feel like his athletic ceiling's pretty high, given that, especially when his body matures and you can really see him kind of reach that physical ceiling. But he's a guy that'll have a skill set, if you can land him, that you probably don't really have on your team outside of him, or don't have a guy that can do it quite as well as him, as far as being an impact in the run game with, you know, two gap in the center of the defense and stuff. It's really something he can do at an exceptional level potentially.
He's kind of soared up the rankings on 24/7 Sports. He's a guy that was kind of in that 200s range, and now he's the number 55 overall player and the number 7 defensive lineman in the country, according to the top 247. So stock up there. He's always been a top target for Florida State. So it's good news that you know, he continues to see his recruiting stock and recruiting ranking soar. Staying on the defensive line, the second most highly ranked prospect in attendance was Georgia 5-star defensive line commit Justice Terry. He's out of the state of Georgia. A guy that FSU has been involved with for a while. If you remember, there was that viral photo that was going around of him when he was entering high school, and the dude was absolutely jacked. It was one of the most viral, you know, things a couple years ago. And that's, I think it was shortly after that, FSU got him on campus for a camp and offered him. And it was very clear that he was going to be a top tier player in his class, and it's definitely continued to trend that way. Obviously committed to one of the top programs in the country in Georgia, and he has several other top programs trying to flip him, including Florida State. They got him on campus again, which was huge. He hadn't been on campus in a little minute, so it was good to get him back. Clay, why do you think that he's such a, you know, highly regarded talent, and that, you know, why some of these high-profile schools are so in on him?
I think he's kind of close to the full package what you're looking for at the, like, future pass rushing 3-tech defensive tackle. He's 6'5". He clearly has pretty good length. His arms look pretty long. I think he can probably play over like 300 pounds, and I think he can certainly improve in the run game, being able to anchor and take on double teams. But really the biggest thing is just like his athleticism at that size, like the way that he can like bend around the corner and get to the quarterback is like pretty ridiculous for 275 pounds. And it doesn't really look like it's going to go away as he continues to add weight. And on top of that, he could just be a guy who, like, is exclusively winning off of his athleticism. He could just exclusively bull rush, or, you know, went off traits alone on every play, but he doesn't. He has like a very clear like plan. Like, he has a very clear pass rush plan. He knows what he's gonna do. He has a couple of moves that he's worked on, and like, that's a great baseline for someone who's as athletic as he is. For by the time he gets on college, I think, you know, get him with a D-line coach, he's gonna be a really, really good player probably.
Gotcha. Awesome. I think FSU is going to continue to work there. I wouldn't describe him as a, you know, guy that I think has a high chance to flip from Georgia in general. But FSU is definitely in that crop of schools that would be heavily in the mix if he does decide to change his mind. Would definitely track whether he continues to visit Florida State moving forward. Two offensive linemen step on campus. They both arrive in Tallahassee without offers. They both leave Tallahassee with offers from Florida State. The first guy I'll mention has a really intriguing body type to me. 6'7", 295 pounds. He's out of Jackson Prep High School in Flowood, Mississippi. A guy that, you know, his offer list isn't super, super impressive. I mean, he's got some, you know, lower P4 offers, Duke, Houston, and a few other programs are in the mix. But FSU offered him after seeing him in person. Gabe Fertitta, which is an offensive line assistant at FSU, is kind of leading him around, has ties to that region. And, yeah, I mean, he looked the part. Clay, when you watched him on film, do you think this is a guy that could play at Florida State, or kind of where, what was your evaluation of him after checking out his film?
I think it's still sort of to be determined. Yeah. This was his first year playing varsity football.
Okay.
So he started off the year playing guard for his team, and then he moved out to right tackle. And at first I was a little bit worried about the movement ability because they had him at guard. But once he moved out to right tackle, he looked pretty comfortable out there. He looked like he could be a college tackle. I don't think he's going to be some like ridiculous athlete at that size. I think it's kind of like you're getting the athleticism that you get at 6'7", 300. Like, he's just a big, mauling offensive lineman who's not going to be some freak athlete at that size. You know, it's sort of self-explanatory. I don't think he's going to rise, you know, super, super high in the rankings. He's just not like – he's just a really, really big dude. And it all will come down to how his technique's going to develop over the next year, how he can show his movement ability, getting to the second level with another full season this year. I think he's a good player. I think he's an FSU-level player. I could be mistaken. There's really not a lot of film. It's about a 2-minute junior year highlight reel. But he seemed to move well. He's obviously really, really big and seems to carry his weight really well. If he's really around 300, he didn't really look it when we saw him in person. But yeah, I think he seems to be an ascending player.
Gotcha. It'll be interesting to see kind of where his recruitment unfolds over the next couple months. Like, does he earn more of these type of level offers? I think that'll kind of tell the tale of whether he's a player of this caliber. But definitely, you know, I like that Florida State's at least, you know, keeping tabs on him and you know, buying in on a you know, body type like that. And maybe, you know, as he gets more used to the game of football, you mentioned this is his first year of varsity football, gets more used to it, maybe he becomes a better player and learns the technique of playing offensive line. The next guy is a definitely a more highly regarded recruiting prospect, Tavarus Dice out of Langston Hughes High School in Fairburn, Georgia. He's the number 153 overall player in the country, according to 24/7 Sports, number 17 offensive tackle in the country. FSU's been like pretty much, you know, involved in his recruitment over the past little bit here. I mean, they hadn't offered until this past weekend, but Alex Atkins has been developing a relationship with him. He mentioned that in his post-visit interview. Dane, you spoke with him. Where do you kind of think he lines up on FSU's priority list? Like, do you think he'll emerge into a top target for them now that they've officially offered? And kind of, you know, what do you think of him as a prospect as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think he definitely could. Like, that part of it is to be determined as far as where he stands on FSU's board. But I think them extending an offer, especially with how he's kind of risen lately with his performance at the UA Atlanta camp, like, he's been kind of an under-recruited guy. Auburn's been the leader for him for a while, and I think they're just one of the major programs somewhat local to him that have recruited him and have prioritized him. But now FSU getting in the mix, he seemed really impressed with FSU and kind of had that post-visit high that you often see. But I think that probably stems from FSU showing, you know, a clear interest in him in person and that sort of thing too. I know he's a guy Clay and I both like a lot. Like when we saw him at that Atlanta camp, he was just physically, he looked more, I don't know, more impressive than maybe any other offensive lineman there, just from like how his physique looked already and the size and where his weight is distributed and kind of how, I don't know, how good he looked in his upper body for sure. He has plenty of size, a plenty big frame, moves really well, and like wasn't intentional with his movements. He's a guy we liked a lot. And I think, you know, maybe he's someone that FSU seeing more of that from now, and he could really sit on their board. He's also, I mean, it's hard to find real tackles at the high school level that you think have like a high ceiling at that position. And he might be a guy that fits that mold too. And I think he's, I mean, he kind of reminds me of Clay. I don't even know if you'd agree with this, but he reminds me of like Zaire Addison in a way of how,
yeah,
he could definitely play that tackle spot and has kind of the measurables and also the look to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I think they can both also, they're both so athletic. If you needed to play them inside, I think they could both also be interior players, but they have the true tackle ability. Like,
gotcha. Yeah. I agree. I think he's going to emerge into a top target for Florida State. There's word that I think FSU might have, you know, vaulted into that top position for him, which was previously held by Auburn. Like they have the only prediction on the crystal ball on 24/7 Sports for Tavares Dice. But I'm hearing some good buzz about where FSU stands in his recruitment coming off of this weekend. Interested to see kind of, you know, where this recruitment heads, because he's going to take more visits over the spring. He already has an OV set to UF over the summer, and I think, you know, it's very likely that Florida State gets on that OV schedule here over the next couple of weeks. Yeah, definitely an important one to track. I actually dropped a mock class on 24/7 today, and Tavares Dice was on there, so that's kind of where I feel that one's headed. But yeah, so that kind of does it for the 2025 prospects that were on campus. You know, we wanted to cover those more in depth. There were two guys I want to note in the 2026 class. I know it's hard to get excited about 2026, but these two are important to note. One is a quarterback, Faison Brandon. He's out of the state of North Carolina, a guy that I think is kind of emerging into one of Florida State's premier targets at the quarterback position in 2026. He's not a new name. Like, they've been involved with him for a while, but when I was kind of digging into who FSU liked in the 2026 class at quarterback a while back, he wasn't a guy that I was, you know, really keeping an eye on, but I definitely do think he is now. He was made a huge priority by quarterbacks coach Tony Tokars and quarterback's assistant Austin Tucker on the visit. He spent a lot of time around those two guys and also got a chance to chat up with Mike Norvell, of course. The frame is impressive. 6'4", 175 pounds. I think that he could put more weight on that frame and you know, look, you know, put together. He's out of Greensboro, North Carolina, Grimsley High School. I think FSU is going to be a player here, but he's also being prioritized by a ton of other schools, Alabama, Oregon, Tennessee, LSU, Michigan, North Carolina. Like, he's got a number of offers, but if I'm kind of stacking up who FSU is prioritizing at quarterback in 2026, I would put Faison Brandon right there with you know, quarterback one. I think some of the other guys they've been after, maybe they've kind of fizzled out just because – of a lack of mutual interest I think that's the main reason for it. So yeah, I would just keep an eye on him being a guy that kind of soars up FSU's recruiting board in that 2026 class. And then a guy we've talked about previously on the pod, Calvin Russell at Miami Northwestern, just an elite prospect, both in football and in basketball. In his sophomore season of basketball, he scored 21 points a game. I think it was 7 rebounds and couple assists a game as well and steals. So I mean, he's just, and then he plays quarterback, he plays running back and wide receiver for Miami Northwestern, so he kind of does it all. You know, I would just bet that this guy's going to be a dude. I think his mom, yeah, his mom played basketball at the University of Miami. So he has that tie to that school. But he really likes Florida State. FSU's done a good job with him since getting him on campus the first time last year. And they had him in for that elite camp they do at the end of July. He looks the part. He's all of 6'4", 181 pounds. He's ranked as the number five receiver in the country in 2026. I definitely would agree with that ranking. I think he's a really good player. Have either of you guys gotten a chance to watch his film? And I guess, you know, if you have or haven't, what do you think of him as a player?
Yeah, I did last week, I think. I think you had posted something from one of his basketball games on your Twitter. I was like, okay, what? I got to go watch this kid. What is this? I thought it was just maybe the most like jarring thing. He's only a sophomore. They kind of seem to just be sort of experimenting with him and just like putting him wherever he would be most useful on any given play.
Yeah.
I thought the biggest takeaways were, one, the length. I mean, it's not just the height. Like, his arms are super long, like super, super long. But, like, just the versatility and, like, the way he was so comfortable moving, even in, like, short areas out of the backfield when he would get the ball handed to him or at quarterback running out of the backfield. But then he could also open it up downfield as a receiver. I don't really understand what his, like, role is yet, just because he did so many different things on his highlights that I saw. I mean, he's a receiver, obviously, but like, what type of receiver is he? A vertical threat? Is he like a big crossing the field? Is he like a quick separator? I honestly don't know. Like, he did all sorts of different things, and I'm definitely very excited to see him the next 2 years, see how he's used and kind of what he develops into, because he's a ridiculous athlete.
Yeah, I think the whole experimenting thing, that's pretty much South Florida football. You know, if you had to describe it, you know, he's a really good player. So Miami Northwestern's kind of just going to use him all around the field. But yeah, it would be pretty cool to see him kind of cemented into, you know, solely a receiver role, just to kind of see what kind of output he could produce at that position. But yeah, I mean, I think he's a good player regardless of, you know, how, you know, how many ways they use him on offense. You know, yeah, he's going to be an important one to track over the next couple of years as he kind of develops. Two more guys I want to hit on. I don't know if you two have watched their film, but the Desir twins, Daryl Desir and Mandrell Desir, both reported offers from Florida State today. You know, they're both edge rusher prospects. Twin brothers out of Miami Norland High School in South Florida. I've, you know, known about these two guys for a while now. I went to a couple of Norland practices this past year because Florida State signed a four-star DB out of Norland, Jamari Howard. And they both stood out. Physically, very impressive. Daryl Desir, I think, is viewed as the higher level prospect of the two twins. He's a foot taller, so 6'4.5", 240 pounds. Mandrell Desir is 6'3.5", 240 pounds. So pretty similar in stature, but Daryl's definitely the higher ranked prospect. He's the number 31 edge in the country, according to 24/7 Sports. I wouldn't describe them as high priority edge rushers for Florida State right now. I think FSU's kind of just getting into the picture of their recruitment for the time being. I could definitely see them taking official visits to Florida State down the line, but as of right now, I wouldn't, you know, project FSU to all out pursue their commitments. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I'm a fan of Florida State expanding their defensive end board. You know, even if it's with a, you know, a couple guys like this that, you know, maybe you're not even sure you want to take right now, but at least have them on the board, keep them warm.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, need to drop down the board a bit, and you know, let's say they have great senior seasons, then yeah, you're right there and you can go attack and try to, you know, if they're committed to another school, flip them or not, just plain out recruit them. I think that's something that Florida State's kind of lacked in previous cycles, and I like that they're doing that. So definitely want to make note of that. But yeah, that's kind of how I would describe, you know, where they're at on FSU's priority list right now at the position. And just looking ahead, the next big recruiting event for FSU is definitely the Legacy Weekend. It's, you know, if you don't know what that is, that's when Florida State welcomes a bunch of former players on campus to, you know, join in, you know, in FSU's facilities with a bunch of their top recruiting targets. I posted an early list of guys that are going or that are expected to be at that event, and it looks really solid. And there are a few guys that we're still working on confirming, and probably guys we don't even know about that are scheduled to be there. But yeah, I mean, it's FSU's marquee recruiting event of the spring, even more so than, you know, what we expect the spring game to be, which is, you know, kind of in the past, I think a lot of people view the spring game as kind of that main event for recruiting during the spring months. But this has definitely turned into that. That'll happen on March 23rd, like I said. Definitely, you know, keep track of Noles 24/7 because we're going to continue to track guys that are expected to be in that weekend. There will be a lot of visitors making their way through Tallahassee, you know, aside from that specific weekend. You know, FSU is obviously on spring break this week, so don't expect much, you know, recruiting action on campus, at least over the next week or so. But once FSU returns to campus, spring ball's not far away from starting. I think it's just a little bit over a week now. So I'm excited for that. And recruiting, you know, obviously will, there will be recruits making it to campus to go watch FSU compete in spring football. So, yeah, wanted to get a little quick recruiting pod out for you guys. We're going to have a ton of podcasts out this week, to be honest. I know you guys have seen the Adam Fuller interview and the Alex Atkins interview. I think the JP interview is on the way. So, you know, definitely keep a lookout for that. But, yeah, that's all we had for you guys today. For Zach Wasson, Clay Fink, and Dane Draper. This was On the Bench. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Most all-star studded challenge ever, and this time it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars, new season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.